Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of Mark's Remarks. Obviously, I'm your host, Mark Radigan, joining you for another episode talking about the wide world of URI athletics. This week, we're going to be getting our second ever Roadie Men's Golf team member joining us on the podcast today, joined by quite a fan of the show. Remember meeting you before you ended up joining the Roadie Golf, Roadie Rams in Kingston a little bit last summer. Talked about how eager you were to hop on the pod, so I'm happy to get it started. Joined by Roadie Golf's very own Tyler Brunel. Tyler, how we doing?
Doing great today. I'm looking forward to this.
Hell yeah. No, I've been looking forward to this too. Since I had Aiden O'Donovan on the show last year, I've been wanting to try and get more Roadie Golf guys on. You guys are a small team, but a very talented bunch, and I feel like it's one of those teams that a lot of people don't particularly follow. It doesn't get that much media coverage. It's one of those smaller teams that are kind of on the fringe of sorts in the URI athletics sphere. But there's still plenty to talk about because you guys are one of the better, more consistent teams we see in Kingston. But before we get on to that, I know you've got a pretty interesting story coming all the way up from West Palm Beach, Florida to come play golf in the Ocean State. So, I mean, just to kind of start out, walk me through a little bit of how you got into this position. Where did your golf journey start, and how did you come onto this path of jumping into college golf?
So I grew up in Massachusetts, and I moved to Florida 2 years ago. But I started playing probably when I was in second grade. Just my dad and I would go out to the course every weekend, just be there all day. I'd go play golf, go swim in the pool, and then go home. It was like a summer routine. But I've always like loved it, playing competitively, and then grew up playing tournaments, had friends I played with every single day. It's just like I've always loved golf. But I started out high school in Concord, Mass. I did 3 years there, and then I moved to Florida, reclassed junior year, because recruiting wasn't going how I wanted it to. And I mean, my parents also thought I wasn't really mature enough to go to college yet. So I reclassed junior year, had a very good fall and summer going into it, and started the college process. Took some time, but I really like Coach Burke and the fact that Coach Gillis was coming to be an assistant coach here. And I honestly connected with the guys here better than I did anywhere else, or honestly anywhere. But that's why I chose to come here.
And so playing 3 years of high school golf in Massachusetts, you're obviously familiar with just like the way New England golf works. I had Bryson Richards on last year, and we were talking about just all about playing golf in Vermont, playing it in the snow and in the crazy winter weather and so on. So how did those first 3 years playing golf at Concord work out for you, and how did your sort of experiences and your results lead you down that path of wanting to reclassify and then going down to Florida to continue playing high school golf?
I mean, I always like just loved golf. Golf was like the only sport I played once I started high school, so I was kind of focused on it. I always knew I wanted to play college golf, and I was always a fairly good golfer in Concord, and I played the one on my high school team sophomore and junior year in Concord and didn't really have much competition. But then I'd go into like tournaments, and I was kind of more of like a middle of the pack guy. Never really did anything special, but I still really wanted to play college golf. So I thought my parents were moving to Florida no matter what. And I kind of thought that I guess reclassing wouldn't have been a terrible idea. It would help me with the whole college process and kind of gain my skill, like improve my skills before going to college, and a lot better competition. And I moved down there and everything kind of changed. I got a lot better. Just playing golf down there made me a lot better.
And so how was that transition going from playing golf in Massachusetts, being around with your friends, and then moving down to Florida? Obviously your whole family's going down there, so you have a little bit of like a backbone, so to speak, of like that you can lean on for support. But I can imagine reclassifying, kind of falling behind at least with like the rest of the pack, most of your friends heading off to college, being a year behind them, moving to a state where you have never lived and doing that, and then going to a new school and everything. So just how was that overall process of just like acclimating yourself to Florida?
It took a lot of time, to be honest with you. Like leaving all my friends, like all my closest friends that I grew up with, and they're all going on to their senior year and then going on to college. It was kind of tough for me, and it took a few months to settle in. But I got down to Florida and I made a good group of friends, good group of guys to play golf with every day, and had an awesome high school team, and just made it a lot easier on me. It took time, but it did make it a lot easier, and I enjoyed it.
And so did your college recruitment process start prior to your switch down to Florida, or do you feel that was it like once you reclassified and you got down there, it was a bit more of like a clean slate, so to speak?
So I'd say it was more of a clean slate. I didn't start recruiting really while I was up here, while I lived in Massachusetts. I didn't really start until the summer when I had moved down to Florida. I didn't really have anything to show coaches yet, and then got to work down there and started sending out emails and sending out recruiting videos, swing videos, and that's how my whole process started.
And so you talked about being like a middle of the pack guy when you got into like regional tournaments and state tournaments in Massachusetts. And obviously, as any golf fan knows, Florida is one of the true meccas of the game of golf. You just, everyone down there who moves down there or grows up down there that plays golf consistently is usually very good. So when you started actually playing competitively down there, how big of a difference was it in terms of talent, and how did you feel after your first initial tournaments when you moved down there?
I honestly, when I moved down there, I knew that it was going to be a lot better competition. But the thing is, the golfers aren't like a lot better generally. There's just a lot more of, there's like a higher, a more of an amount, like, sorry. There's more players who are consistently better than there are in Massachusetts. But honestly, the best of the best are all the same. So I kind of moved down there and gone to the tournaments, and it didn't really feel much different. But I felt like as I kept playing down there, practicing on the courses, it's just like I got a lot better. I learned how to play smarter. My swing got better. Just everything improved.
Interesting. And that's sort of the gauge that I've seen, at least, is that when you head down to states like that, it really is like the level of consistency between golfers is relatively the same. It's just the level that they're at is very good. And there's just so many guys that are all very good, but there's not that much difference until you really start seeing the really good golfers. And that's like guys that you're talking about, like possibly going to Q school before they even get to college.
But yeah, I agree with that.
So getting down to West Palm Beach, did you end up going to one of the public high schools down there, or did you enroll in one of the sports academies? Just what school did you end up going to?
I went to, it's a smaller private school, the Benjamin School. But I didn't really look at any other schools. I talked to the coach before I moved down there. He knew I was coming. I was 100% set on going there. I didn't really look anywhere else. There's no public schools I wanted to go to, but yeah, it was just Benjamin. Worked out well.
And so joining up with that team, were you one of the only sort of transfers that came in? Was it an already established group and then you kind of had to find your way into joining up with that? Or was it made up of other guys that had come in from other states that wanted to play golf in Florida?
No, it's all pretty much local guys. The whole team had been there since the start of high school. It was all guys from Florida. A few guys who had, like, actually, there was one transfer in the same year as me, Justin Leonard's son, Luke. They moved out from Colorado to Jupiter, and we both moved into Benjamin the same year and were trying out together for the team. But other than that, the team was already set in stone pretty much. I think we had 10 guys, something like that, but it was already like there was already a whole foundation there.
And so what was the caliber of that team? I mean, you kind of alluded to it, that it's a lot of local guys down there and in West Palm Beach, Jupiter, like a lot of those are the hubs of professional golfers. They all live down there for the most part. I mean, just what were some of the caliber of players, or were there any notable players that you got to play alongside while you were there?
There were a lot of really good players. I played with Charlie Woods my senior year on my team, but senior year, our starting five is all golfers who will play Division I golf. Our number one player is going to Notre Dame to play golf. And it was me and him, and then the other three kids were all freshmen and sophomores who will 100% play D1. And it's just like, it's cool to be around a bunch of guys who you know have so much talent, and like just see how everyone plays. It's a lot different than like coming and playing high school golf in Massachusetts. The competition's better. It's just everything is so much better.
And so we'll get to the Charlie Woods thing in a yeah. second, because that's got kind of a big bomb there. But playing consistently with that high level, or golfers of such a high level that are so talented, and you just mentioned like that level of competition being so strong, how do you feel that helped your development? Because obviously you're not always competing against these guys every single day. I mean, you're competing for spots, but you're obviously playing together as a team, but practicing day in, day out with them. How did that help you develop as a golfer?
You kind of just see how these guys play golf. Like, it's also a lot of coaching. A lot of my coaches helped a lot with it. My main focus when I moved down to Florida was working on course management, which is like a lot of people's biggest issue on the golf course, because they don't know how to play smart. You want to go at pins. You want to hit it over the water, take driver everywhere. I learned how to play smarter because it's a lot more target golf. And all those guys around me, they kind of grew up playing down there. So they knew how to like navigate their way around the golf courses down there. It's a lot more water rather than trees and hills, and it's all flat and a lot more bunkers. It's just a total different game, and it took a while to adapt, but from playing around all those guys, you learn how to do it, and they helped show the way. They helped pave the way for it.
And what about the coaches? How much do you credit the coaches at the Benjamin to helping you get to this position that you are now? And were there any particular moments that you look back on and at how their input really helped you a lot and helped you really get your game into Division I college level shape?
To be honest, they weren't really golf coaches. They kind of just coached the team, but they did a good job with it. They kind of brought us all together and made the whole like traveling to tournaments, made everything fun. Like, I really enjoyed my time spending time with my coaches, got really close to them, but they didn't bring much of an aspect to the golf course, like a golf aspect. They were more just coaches and like
so
friends, to be honest with you.
So it seems more like a lot of the learning that you were able to get through this entire process and playing with these guys definitely came from more of a peer-to-peer basis and watching your fellow teammates and stuff.
Yeah, and more of swing coaches outside of school.
And so did you have multiple swing coaches, or how were you able to get yourself into that position?
I had one swing coach that I joined, or that I started working with when I moved down to Florida, and he works with a ton of good players. And I worked with him until I came back up here for school. Wait, can you review what you said at the end there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, just working with the swing coaches. How did that come about? How did that impact you? And more or less, just like, how do you credit your learning and so on and improving your game to working with them more than, say, the actual coaches of your team?
I mean, honestly, like I said before, they didn't really do much. He tweaked my swing here and there, but main thing I worked on with my coach was course management. He was one of those guys where he'd take me out on the course and we'd play a few holes and he'd show me, we'd talk about every shot, like kind of with a caddy. And think about here, for example, par 5, it's a dogleg right and it's 290 to cover the corner. But if you go left, there's water. We kind of talk about where is the best place to miss here, what's going to give you an angle in if you do have a chance for going the green, or chance at going for the green, Or do you want to lay up and play the smart shot? And a lot more of that. We talk about every single shot. Like also around the greens, bunkers, on the putting green.
Interesting. And so to kind of go back to the overall team, I mean, just you talked about how you're learning on more of like a peer-to-peer basis, playing with a lot of guys that are going to be competent Division One athletes. And then you mentioned Charlie Woods. There's so many factors that come into play when you think of Charlie Woods, with the amount of publicity that comes with him and comes with his dad, obviously, and the tournaments that he's been playing in already at such a young age. Just, I mean, I imagine that because of the age gap, you didn't necessarily play with him for much very long. You said that you played with him just during your senior year, but just talk a little bit about what that experience was like, if it was at all different than what you would say playing on a normal college, normal high school golf team would be like.
Honestly, the only real difference was that Tiger comes out on the course and he's watching you in high school matches. That's when it gets the nerves going. But having Charlie on the team, he was kind of just a regular teammate. Like he didn't really, it wasn't anything crazy. He was a nice kid, very mature, knows his stuff, he knows golf. He's just very normal kid. He
And
didn't
so,
really, all right, go ahead.
oh no, continue, continue.
He was just a very normal kid. He didn't really bring any certain aspects to the course that, or to the team that we didn't have before.
And so, what about having Tiger Woods watching you? Obviously, nerve-wracking to have anybody watch you, especially someone of the caliber of Tiger Woods, but were there ever any times where he would offer other guys like yourself on the team any sort of advice on how you guys were playing? Or was it always just strictly he was there to focus on Charlie, see what he was doing?
He was kind of just out there watching. He wasn't really out there giving much advice, just out there supporting us. He was there at our state championship. He was there for a lot of matches, but wasn't really anything crazy.
And so, how did you respond to the pressure of not only having him watching you per se, but just like going down to Florida, playing in these matches against opponents that are of such a higher caliber, let's say, than in Massachusetts? That obviously comes a little bit more pressure to perform because you're now in a position where, all right, I reclassed, I really want to go play college golf, this is how I'm going to do it. And there's pressure that comes with that. How do you feel you responded and even embraced that pressure to eventually come play at URI?
Honestly, when I got there, when I first moved down, the competition didn't really, I didn't feel a lot of pressure there. It was more like go out and play your golf, play your game. But then when it kind of got into like the recruiting process, that's when I started feeling a lot more pressure. Like I needed to play well, I needed to go out and have good rounds or I'm not gonna get any looks from coaches. And I didn't particularly play great during my recruiting process, and I lost a lot of interest because of it. But I talked to Coach Burke, and honestly, from the get-go, I really liked him. I really liked what he had going up here, and he had a great squad, a great group of guys. And he kind of saw some talent that I had and saw the talent in me and what I could bring to the team and gave me an offer, and I decided to come here.
And so that kind of leads me into the next part of this conversation that I wanted to get into, was your college recruitment process, because college golf is obviously a very competitive sport, and not that many guys make these rosters. And there's always the decision of, oh, do you want to go play college golf? Do you want to go play pro? And we've seen all the changes that have come between the PGA and the NCAA of linking everything with PGA Tour U and so on. So just how did your college recruitment process go? I mean, you obviously just mentioned that you didn't really play particularly well and you saw a lot of interest go from high to start to dip down a bit. But just from the jump, what were some schools that you were looking at and what was your decision-making process like outside of obviously the great conversations you had with Coach Burke in terms of more like location and the type of school that you were looking at and just kind of overall what you were looking for in a college golf program?
What I honestly wanted from the get-go was I wanted to go to a more southern school, but I didn't want to stay in Florida. Like, I was interested in schools in, like, the Carolinas, but didn't really get a lot of interest back. I talked to the Elon coach a good bit, the High Point coach, but then mostly the rest of it, the rest of my recruiting was mostly in the Northeast. I talked to a couple schools in Pennsylvania. I talked to Bucknell coach a little bit. Lehigh, Lafayette, honestly, just no one really compared to URI that wasn't any bit of contention. So.
And so being from New England, did it make that decision a little bit easier as you were familiar with the area, like you were closer to friends and so on?
It definitely made it a lot easier. I live from here. Where I used to live is an hour and a half away. It's all my friends are nearby. A lot of my friends stayed in the Northeast for school too. And I still have a lot of family up here. So that definitely influenced the decision a good bit, but not as much as you'd expect it to. Cause I would have gone anywhere if it was the right spot, but this was the right place for me.
And you kind of talked about not really performing to the best of your ability during the college recruitment process and seeing a lot of interest slip away. How much did that have an impact on you mentally? And like, just did it have a major impact on your game overall? Like, you saw that interest might have slipped and the game started to progressively deteriorate? Or just like, how do you, when you look back on it, how do you feel it impacted you?
From the start of the recruiting process, I was playing some of my best golf, but then slowly it kind of faded away. And it definitely impacted me mentally because I got to the point where I was like, oh God, like, am I going to even go to college for golf? Like, are these coaches going to want me at all? Like, I'm not playing good. I'm not playing any bit of what I can do. Like, what is going on? So it really threw me off mentally. And I had a couple solid tournaments in the mix there. And just gave me a little bit of my confidence back, which helped and led a little bit to a little bit more consistency during that recruiting process. But Coach Burke gave me the offer, and I couldn't turn it down to come here, especially after how I've been playing. I didn't really want to push it away and then go back to how it was before. And then once I actually committed here, I started playing well again and had a really good summer last year, which was good.
And so you've talked a lot about Coach Burke throughout this. It seems that he was the most integral part in this recruitment process for you in order to get you to Kingston. I mean, just walk me through the process between you and Rhode Island, how it started, what the conversations were like with Coach Burke, and just how that process from the initial recruitment, we're interested in you, to, hey, we want you to be a Rhode Island Ram.
So when I first reached out to him, it was around Thanksgiving, I think, of my junior year in Florida. And we talked a little bit then later, I think over the next month and a half, we talked a tiny bit. And then in January, I hopped on a couple phone calls with him. And the first call I had with him, I think it was an hour and a half. And I think I might have said five words. He talked the entire time and kind of like told me all about his personal life, all about the team. And I really liked it. I really liked how he runs the program, how disciplined he is with the players, with lifts. Just, I thought it would be a good fit for me. And I think he was probably the biggest role in me coming to URI.
And so then after that, those initial conversations carry on, you start to really enjoy what you're seeing. Did you come on any visits to Rhode Island to kind of just see what it was like, see what the team was like?
I came, so before before he offered me, I came on an official visit here. I think it was March of 2023, and stayed with the team, went to a couple lifts, saw them practice, saw the courses, got tours of the campus, and just really liked the guys and really liked Coach Burke, and I thought it would be a good fit for me.
Well, that's awesome. I can imagine that the guys all were really happy to bring you in and so on. It seems like a really
Yeah,
tight-knit group that are
it
all
is.
like live or die together, live by each stroke that they get on the course.
Yeah, we're all very connected.
And so then you talked about that once you did ultimately commit to URI, you saw your game improve. Do you think that that was more or less because of just the fact that you had that weight lifted off of your shoulders of like, all right, you know what?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to play college golf. Now I feel better about it.
I think that was a huge part of it. Like, all that pressure kind of just got lifted off me, and I felt like I was like kind of free to go out and play golf without having any worries. And my game got a lot better. I scored a lot better. It was a lot more consistent, and it gave me some confidence back, which was good.
And so, what were your scores looking like when you got down to Florida? You talked about how it was sort of a series of ups and downs before it hit an upward trajectory before coming to URI. So, I mean, just what were your scores looking like down there?
So when I first moved down, I think my scoring average was around like a 74 in like tournament golf. And I'd have a few rounds that would be a little higher, a few that would be lower, but it wasn't really consistent. And over that year, I think my scoring average during my recruiting was around the same. And then I committed. I think I improved by two and a half shots from my recruiting process to the following summer after I committed, and then another two shots this year over this past summer and this spring, which I thought that my game changed a lot, and that was a big stress relief.
And so, just talking about that consistency and being able to shave strokes off of your game, obviously, once your mental aspect of it, because golf is a very mentally focused game, once that improves, that obviously helps. But were there any other aspects to your game itself, whether it was a swing change or a grip change or just a way that you approached the game that helped you get more consistency on the course?
Nothing that I can really pinpoint, but kind of just learned how to score better. And even on like bad ball striking days, I was able to scrap together good rounds and make some good putts, like par saves and here and there, which were honestly a huge part for my game. And just like learning how to manage my way around a course, like I said earlier, helped like a lot. That really changed everything, to be honest with you.
And so, after you commit and after you graduate, you're now a few months away from fully enrolling at URI, getting up to campus, seeing everybody, and becoming a Division I college athlete. And so you talked about how you played quite well during that summer, and I would imagine during preseason with the guys. Just when you first got together with this group as an official member of the team, started going to lifts, started doing preseason with these guys, just what were those initial weeks like? Because obviously you had met them, you had done the recruiting visits, you had kind of gotten at least somewhat of a feel for what the team culture was like. But once you finally got there and became a part of that culture, just how was it like initially for you?
I got here and I really like connected with the guys like I did before, but it actually like kind of felt real, and I was like actually part of the team now. And we started lifting together, and I kind of spend like my roommate Luke, for example, we spend like every moment of the day together. Like we lift together, we eat together, we have classes together, we go to practice together. And it's like you really are just connected with these guys. Like I'm with them every day. They're like my closest friends. It's been really a really good time.
And do you think that that atmosphere that the team has created and the relationship that you've established with Luke and the relationship that you've established with your other teammates has helped you shave off two more strokes since coming to Kingston?
I hope so. But I think it helps a lot with our like team chemistry. We all kind of go out on the course and we rely on each other. We're all great golfers. Everyone on the team can go hand in hand with each other. And it's just a matter of whose week it is. We're just the team, like social aspect helps us on the course a lot, I think. But I hope that shaves two shots off my scores.
Well, I mean, yeah, like you and I both golf. We both understand that this is a very mental game. And when things are pointing in the right direction and stuff, even outside of the game, are going well for you, it translates onto the course. Like, I know that from 100%. Experience that when I'm in a good mood, I'm going to play better golf. And so I have to imagine that sort of atmosphere where it's, you're all working toward the same goal. And now that you don't have that looming feeling hanging over your head of like, oh, am I going to play college golf? No, you're here. You've already made it. So now it's time for you to do what you've been doing, and what you've been doing well is just to play golf. And you're now with a team of guys that are all doing the same thing, but you're all fighting for the same goal. And so I got to imagine that must feel really good, being a part of this little community that you guys have to do what you guys love every single day.
It is. It's like we go out, like, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's just like, not making any sense here. We're just going out there. We have fun. Like, we'll go out and like play matches and practice 2v2s just have fun. It's just a social aspect of it too, which makes it a lot better, but we're all locked in for golf too when we go to tournaments.
And so
I don't know
speaking
if that
of
made
going
much to sense, but
oh no, it totally did. No, I get it. And trust me, plenty of people that listen to this show that play golf, watch golf, or in the golf universe, they get it. Like, it's that sort of, and that translates across sports too. I mean, from my experiences doing this show and talking to so many different athletes, you see how that camaraderie, how playing with other guys and other girls that do the same thing you do, that understand what you're going through, it relieves so much pressure off of your own back, off of your own psyche, because you know that you're not alone. And it just allows you to play so much better. And so kind of just
go out there and play a lot more freely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of pressure off you.
Yeah, and when you're playing free golf, it's when you play your best stuff. When you don't have a care in the world and you're just going to embrace the game, that's when you play. It's when you get your best stuff.
Yeah.
And so to kind of segue into this, you had a perfect little segue about talking about going to these tournaments. You had your first tournament last week and played really well. First tournament of the year for Rody Golf. They won. Tyler, you shot 5 under. Led the team. And when I was talking to Aiden O'Donovan about it last week, he was just telling me about just how the tournament experience overall, how the guys played. And just, it sounded like an incredible experience. And one that, as someone who keeps up with this program, I've been trying to stay in the loop of the success that this team brings. And this tournament struck me as different because it just seemed that it was like just a really good collective effort to get that full win as a team. And so, I mean, just walk me through, firstly, just playing in the tournament, how it felt to finally get your feet wet in college golf as part of this team to get the win at the tournament, and then your individual play. Because, I mean, my goodness, that must have felt good to lead the team your first tournament, huh?
It did feel good. But, yeah, so 2 weekends ago, we actually went down to NC State for an event there. And we were supposed to play 3 rounds, but we played 10 holes and it got canceled due to weather. But I got a little feel there and got a little bit of the nerves out. And for those 10 holes, like start of college golf, that was really it, but this was the first official tournament for me. But that those 10 holes at NC State took a lot of pressure off me because I already got a little bit of a feel for it. So I got to this tournament this past weekend and kind of knew that feeling, knew that I was probably going to feel a little bit nervous and stressed going on to the first tee, those like first tee jitters. But I kept myself pretty calm out there, I thought. On the first day, I think I was 5 under through 15 on round one, and then the nerves started to hit me because I was like, oh my God, I think I'm in the solo lead by a couple shots right now in my first tournament. It's just like a little bit of a head rush. And just like it all kind of just like hit me at once, and I lost a little bit of my momentum, and it threw me off a little bit. I made a bogey and then a double. And then I was like, oh God, like I got down on myself a little bit. But then 18th hole, I made a really good birdie to finish out the first round and kind of showed myself that I could fight through it and calm my nerves when I, especially at that time.
And so, having an impressive performance for your first tournament, how does that help set a standard for you moving forward? Obviously, it sort of asserts yourself as like, okay, I'm here to play. Let your teammates know, let your coaches know that, hey, like, I'm legit. Like, this is, you may not fully expect stuff from the freshmen all the time, usually to follow the lead of the upperclassmen, but to take the initiative and really play that convincingly. How do you feel that will impact you as the season progresses, knowing the standard that you've sort of set for yourself?
I think it just gives me a lot of confidence that I can kind of go out there and compete with all these other guys that I haven't really played with before. And it shows me like I can go out there, I can make birdies, and I can score well in these tournaments and honestly contend, which, but feeling those, that pressure coming down the stretch and in the lead of a tournament this early in my career, I think is going to help me a lot this season in just in scenarios where I'm playing well and where the team is playing well. And I think it'll help me be able to kind of keep myself contained or keep myself like in a groove still mentally.
And so obviously it's still super early in the season. You've had one tournament and 10 holes in another. But based off of what you've seen from this group and obviously what you've seen from your own performances, what do you think fans should have as an expectation for this team this year? Do you feel that this is the year that URI really asserts itself as one of the power players in the Atlantic 10? Or just what do you see coming from this program this season and beyond?
I think this team's going to win a lot. I think we have a lot of talent and we're very, very deep. And like I said earlier, everyone on the team can compete with everyone. So it's all just a matter of who's playing well, what week. And I think we can go out there and compete with all the best teams in the Atlantic 10. Honestly, a lot of really good teams in Division I golf.
That's I love to hear that. That's what I was hoping you were going to say. That's what I want to hear. And so to kind of wrap this up, obviously golf is an interesting sport because of the way people can progress from college into the professional game in through so many different mediums, but it's not as like clean cut as in other sports where you just get drafted. Like you have to really work and grind in order to reach the precipice of professional golf. Is that something that you've been thinking about over the past couple of years? Is that's a goal that you want to strive for? Or are you in a position where it's like, you know what? Like I'm kind of just taking it tournament by tournament, week by week, year by year.
I'm kind of just gonna take it. Yeah, it's gonna go day by day, pretty much. It's, I mean, not day by day, but over time, I'm gonna figure out what's gonna be right for me and see how college goes. Of course, if I play really well, then I'll give it a shot. I think I want to give it a shot eventually, but it's, you never know.
All right. Well, I will certainly be looking forward to seeing how your college journey progresses, though I'm only going to have 1 year of being a student here and watching you play. Definitely going to be keeping an eye on this program over the next few years, because I agree that you guys have, you're really deep in this squad, and there's a lot of great young talent on this team, and mm-hmm. Coach Burke and Gillis have built a very competent squad to remain competitive for the next few years, not even just in the short term, but in the long term mm-hmm. as well. But yeah. I'm very excited to see where you guys end up, and I'm excited to see where you in particular end up, because I mean, I've been excited to see you come play here since I met you last year, and I just seeing how you played in your first tournament, I'm like, all right, this kid's legit. Like, I knew he was gonna be legit, but like, all right, this kid, he's got it going on.
Just gotta keep it going. But we're gonna have a good year though. It's gonna be fun.
That's what I love to hear. But Tyler, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. This was great. I love talking golf with anybody that plays it and plays it consistently and plays it at such a high level like you do. And I mean, just good luck for the rest of the season, dude.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Of course. And so to everybody listening at home, obviously, thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And for more information on other episodes and so on, tune into the socials on Instagram and Twitter at Marks Remarks Pod. And we will be back next week with another episode. So until then, I'll catch you later.